Hello.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our not quite so regular Tuesday stream question.
It's Tuesday, my dudes.
It's Tuesday. We stream when
question
we can.
Mark.
Yeah, question mark. We were a little busy yesterday, and to be honest, I hadn't quite got the mental energy to do all this yesterday, so we're doing it today. But for those of you who tune in for the weather report, it's actually quite nice. And
it's
seems
a cracking day out there.
It's April, and the April Fool's is that it's actually spring.
I know. So. It's about the driest it's been in months, and as a consequence of such, I actually feel immensely better. Thank you, damp, for making life awful.
Yes. We'll do our normal preamble as people filter in. If you would like to support us, we are still monetized somehow. And if you don't want to pay the Google tax, the best way to do that, it's the pinned message there, but I'll get it up on screen as well. We've got a Ko-Fi, and also you can do via PayPal with that. All that takes a very slight cut or basically no cut.
Or you can choose to be a member on the channel or choose to be a subscriber to the Substack.
A little bit more central. There we go. So it doesn't trigger people there.
If it's not already been mentioned, you can, of course, also send super chats and stuff
if you want to make sure
that we read out your witty and insightful comments. They better be witty and insightful.
They better be witty.
Or we'll actually send you your money back.
Yeah, we'll send you your money back. We'll find you. No, again, we do our little preamble here just so one on the VOD people can skip if they want to, really. But also the fact that...
Think people would skip this bit? This is the best part of the stream.
Some people do enjoy this. It's us just being a bit silly. Apart from that, I don't know. At some point, we'll explain the bizarre bank trouble I'm still having. But I'm getting evidence together on that.
I think as well, maybe we could at least drop some little hints that... if you enjoy our writing and you've ever thought about owning it in a different format, keep your eyes peeled.
Oh, yes, there might be something coming on that front. A lot of people keep telling us that we should have different formats, let's say, to have our work in. So there might be some movement on that front. Anyway, I think we've used up our customary kind of 2-3 minute intro.
I know, I can feel myself being shuffled along by the producer at this very moment.
The producers are coming in. What are we talking about? Well, the title is The Political Moment.
I'm sorry, I've just noticed a new episode of Scrump and Troon. Excuse me, that's Scrump and the Troon to you. Get it right. I wouldn't, for God's sake, for one moment thinking people thinking that I come from Troon. Whoa! Wait. Not some sort of seaside inbred.
It's just, I don't know. Many years ago, welcome the seal of approval. there's like four people who get that.
Isn't this? I thought this was dumping with Scrum.
Oh, no, they're bad, man. No, that happens with Oozaloo now. No, okay. For those of you who don't know, what we refer to as the political moment is basically, it's not quite the current thing, but it's close.
Well, I think it's the continuum on which current things exist, like a large political washing line.
Kind of, yes. It's the political moment, really. It's a combination of the current thing and what we like to refer to as the political background music. And I know people talk about vibe shifts and all that, but really what you're experiencing is kind of the mush. It's the water. You are the fish. And the water is all around you, and the water is the political background music. And it's very hard to explain that to people whilst it's going on. This will make more sense as we go on.
You think that's news you're reading?
You think that's news you're reading? It won't just be us doing pithy phrases. We will be coming out with something a bit more solid, but...
That's all I prepared. All I prepared was pithy phrases.
All we prepared were pithy phrases.
But, I'm so sorry.
No. But really, it's... A lot of this is borderline first principle stuff. It's really a combination of media hegemony and the fact that what you have to talk about has to be relevant and recognisable to people.
I think in a manner we are talking about something that AA has always referred to as the frame.
Yes.
Or the container.
But it's the container plus time. This is the best way I think to phrase it. Really, is a little bit of a theoretical political theory intro here. But we're going through. This is how we sift information, and this is partly how we predict the political future. Is that you have to look at what is the political moment, what's come behind you, what is coming in front of you. and what logically follows it. But yeah, since before the advent of mass communication, political messaging amongst elites who engage in politics had to be relevant to their concerns. The aggregate revealed preference of the ruling elite class is what sets the parameters of political reality. If you're having struggle with that sentence, read it again.
I think what you're saying is that fundamentally, being a political actor nowadays, due to the scale and the obfuscation that exists throughout democracy, you are more abstracted. Really, the direct concerns of the people that you quote-unquote rule over, which in a democracy isn't anyone but also everyone at the same time.
Yes.
Doesn't matter. What people in your constituency want is really only something that gets you there as a justification. It's actually not how you rule.
Yeah, well, the thing is, people think that elites just do what they want. That isn't generally true. They do an aggregate of what they all want because they all keep each other in line by having a percentage of power. And if they don't have any power, they're not really elites, so...
Yeah.
Ever closer management made passive acceptance from populations inadequate, and a higher percentage of people had to be converted to active participation in the process. This is the mechanism that creates mass identity and therefore mass society. This is one of our underlying principles, really. That politicizing and making people politically engaged is evil.
Well, I think we can maybe...
And it is evil because you are not only forcing them to tolerate your existence, but participate in it.
Well, I think we could maybe... We could go one step further. We could just say that this is directly the replacement of culture with politics.
Yes.
And the irony of the culture war being that it's really a method for deracinating culture proper in the face of politics. And this is a fundamental thing.
This is where the culture war turned everything into slop, yes.
Yes, and this is a fundamental thing that both of us have sort of always kept in mind, because Ellul, Burnham, Carlyle himself all sort of talk about this mechanism, but I think Ellul's descriptions of it are so analytical in Propaganda, which is, if a book you haven't read already, go and read it or listen to Skeptical Waves' audio of it or whatever. But it can't be missed. So anyway, if by chance propaganda...
Well, we can mention as well, another way you can support us is anti-politics. The Substack, this is from your speech that was delivered at the 2022 WITAN event. Simply just, it's Propaganda, Logos and Mass Society, isn't it?
Yes.
So this is one of your speeches delivered in front of an actual crowd.
You want to be a proper theory, so I'll go and read it and give me your notes. If by chance propaganda is addressed to an organised group, it can have practically no effect on individuals before that group has been fragmented. And I want to... This won't be the key element we're talking about here, but I want people to consider that fact alone more than anything else.
Yes.
That it can have practically no effect on individuals before that group has been fragmented. So if propaganda is being aimed at you, the individual, it's not because you're an individual and you're unique and special, it's because you are part of a group and maybe you haven't recognised it yet. Such fragmentation can be achieved through action, but it is equally possible to fragment a group by psychological means. The transformation of very small groups by purely psychological means is one of the most important techniques of propaganda. Only when very small groups are thus annihilated, when the individual finds no more defences, no equilibriums, no resistance exercised by the group to which he belongs, does total action by propaganda become possible. Identity, character, what makes you unique as an individual or part of some kind of client group, your relation to the apparatus that allows society to run on, this is stripped from you.
Yes.
And what happens with most people is they do not turn round and turn straight to apathy or complete and utter nihilism. Instead, they rebel against this and latch on to another identity, which has been pre-made for them.
Okay, so here we go. First principles to recap, to make it bleedingly obvious, what the elite want is set by the elite. People in power do what they want and are forced to do what their friends want. That is the crayon drawing version of this. And as a little pause here, you have to be removed from your existing group to be propagandized. You have to be atomized to be propagandized. And so it's again, we live in a very atomized society, and this is why. But the upshot of that, and the other point, and I know we're kind of recapping a bit of stuff here, but we could also go, we've already covered the fact pretty comprehensively that the Overton window isn't real, and the political conversation people are compelled to participate in is set from above by those in power. So if you have a political conversation that's set from above and it is done to the advantage of the agendas of the ruling elite, then what you have is a conversation that can be altered at any moment via the mechanisms of mass propaganda. That's why, and that's how, political kind of ideas and movements and whole paradigms are cycled in and out.
And but what we end up with on top of this is the effect of saturation over time.
Yes.
24-hour news media, and further now, the greater intensity that is social media and all your citizen journalists on Twitter,
yes,
have made memories shorter, and therefore they have made the political moment more fleeting. We can think of it as political eras made up of current things on our big washing line, as it were.
Yes.
COVID belongs in the woke era, for example, but does not encompass the entire woke period.
Yes.
Macro movements in the political paradigm are harder to spot at the now hurtling speed at which the current thing changes. But if you can read the script, let's maybe discern that between the signal and the noise.
Yes, if you can pick out the signal and not the noise, you can figure out when these paradigm shifts are happening, when the big things, when the background noise,
when the sheet music changes.
When the sheet music, when you know, the background music of what's being done in politics changes. Whole kinds of messaging, see anti-woke, feel ill-fitting outside of their political moment and almost incomprehensible outside of their political era.
The left is the real racists.
Yes.
I mean, how does anyone feel about that now? I mean, I want to see people in chat doing this, because we've all done it at one point.
The Democrats are the real racists.
We've all turned and said, oh, the left are the real
intolerant
people.
The Democrats are the real racists.
No, goddammit, we are.
We've realised that tolerance actually wasn't important in that fleeting political moment, or at least not anymore. So we've dealt away with this idea that the left are racist because there's no utility in it anymore. That, and maybe some of us have developed and changed in a certain way.
Well, it's...
No, you idiot. We are.
Another example would be that messaging around the lockdowns, framed around lockdown being woke, was very popular in 2022 still, but it is frankly uncool in 2025. Both of its political moment and its political paradigm are both past. It elicits something of a cringe, like a number one hit from 5 years ago, you no longer like, or a terrible old meme like somebody dabbing or Ugandan knuckles. That's why we put the cringe memes in the thumbnail, and because their moment has passed.
And what you can do as well with this is you can almost kind of like neuter principles or arguments between different time periods.
Yes.
So anyone running around now saying that, like, what's this, was it Patrick Vallance or whoever else?
Yeah.
Was this government advisor that slept with some woman while we were all in lockdown or whatever? And, you know, no one was running around calling that two-tier care.
No.
Or two-tier governance. But then two-tier is a talking point we use now about different issues.
Yes, but this is, again, the examples I've used before is the movement from the neocon era into the Obama era, into the woke era. Freedom Fries and Coronation Chicken, my kind of essay and now video essay, I guess, is about that. But, you know, it also highlights the example of the Iraq War, that people didn't remember the way that they thought about the Iraq War at the time. People's memory of it, what they said they believed at the time, not their belief on it now, altered, and that is very, very, very common. It's clear as well that the Freedom Fries War on Terror era is very different, and it is a very different political era to the Black President prophecy fulfillment of the Obama era.
But the fundamental geopolitical strategy,
yes,
and the execution of that strategy was handled by the same people towards the same goals. The set dressing changed, however, because the political moment could be shifted and adjusted to and from what was necessary.
Yeah, you have identical foreign policy and very nearly identical domestic policy with emphasis in different places, but it's the political moment that's made up by the political framing. It's the framing of what's going on. It's not what is actually going on. People think that we attribute magical powers to the elite. We do not. They have a low control in some instances over what happens in reality. They can't fight decline with their money magic, for example. But the framing of events by mass propaganda is within their remit.
Yes.
They are the ones who set the propaganda. That is what they can do. And so the ruling elite use it to create the legitimacy, the belief in their legitimacy and necessity. Without being directly present.
And given the need to perpetuate atomization for the purpose of getting people to participate in the political system, these people being more centred around the perception of reality than reality itself actually makes perfect sense.
Yes.
And to run around... I mean, this is maybe something I would do, actually, is a little bit of an aside here.
Yeah.
If you are still running around going, why aren't our leaders taking political realities, you know, at face value and talking to us, the people, about them?
Yeah.
You are still completely barking up the wrong tree. Because I'm sorry, but if we were to run the world in the way that we pleased, we would still, at least for a small time period, without causing some sort of, like, mass amnesia event and loss of meaning amongst millions of people who are politically engaged, you would have to fill that void. And you couldn't fill that void with facts of reality. You'd have to fill it with your own narrative, your truth regime, whatever you want to call it. And that fundamentally, at this scale of governing, perception matters more than reality.
Yes,
and
it does.
You have to take that on board. And you have to realise that that's what they're thinking about when they make these decisions.
This, again, I thought people would understand when we said tell a better lie.
Mm.
But we've obviously had to become a bit more explicit because I thought people understood what we meant by tell a better lie. But that's what we're saying. You have to have your own narrative, and it is the narrative of events, not the events themselves, that most people interact with. Most people do not experience these supposedly life-changing events firsthand.
Excuse me, I think you find this changes everything.
Yeah, and again, yeah, it's very this changes everything. So to recap, the political elite set the agenda, and it's an aggregate of what they want.
Over an atomized population.
Over an atomized population.
That are desperate for something to do.
Yes, and the idea of the Overton window is just people's misunderstanding of the fact that the conversation...
The frame is set.
Yeah, the frame is set top down. And if the frame is set top down, it can be modified, changed at any moment, because the frame is simply a product of what the elites want it to be.
I'm gonna take a bucket that you would make a sandcastle in.
Yes.
And I'm going to fill it full of sand and make a sandcastle.
Yeah.
And I'm going to fill it full of cement and make another thing. It's going to be the same shape, isn't it? Even though I've changed the materials within. And this is the fundamental point. The shape of the container, the thing you can't see because you're not supposed to look at it, because it's effectively the giant organized hole between governance, media, and the intelligence services, that's the container. That's the mould. That is what's set in the shapes that come out of it.
Well, let's have a quick look at the previous political moments. Tell you what, the big thing that people thought would never happen is that people have forgotten COVID.
I saw a thing the other day about they were actually going to try and do somebody for the whole ventilator thing. And I actually sat there for a moment and thought, even of like red-pilled folk, how many people would know any of the details of the ventilator scandal that happened in 2020, 2021?
Yeah, if you remember the whole ventilator, we need more ventilators, and it turns out
they were blowing people's lungs
up. Yeah, they were actually just killing people with them. That is uncontroversial now. That is horrible, and it is something that did happen, and if it was commented on at the time, it would have caused... Can you imagine headlines, you know, government lies to population, kills people with ventilators.
But it's a novelty.
It is now a footnote, and people didn't think that a population would commit to unlimited house arrest. And in fact, what happened was they caused too much trouble for themselves. Have you printed too much money for the lockdowns? Blame the war. Well, what war? It's 2022.
This war.
But the problem is that people have also moved on from Ukraine.
Oh, do you hate the Rat King? Don't you hate Zelensky? But it's okay, because JD Vance is sick as fuck, lad, and he's going to put Zelensky in his place.
Well, before this, what happened was people were brought out of the COVID paradigm and immediately subsumed in the idea they had to get back to work because World War III was coming. But is the war, you know, is the war going badly? Well, de-emphasize it with another conflict. Is Ukraine failing? Is it stalling? Is it embarrassment? Well, find another war. Well, what other war?
The war.
The war.
The only war.
The greatest war. God's chosen war. And here we are. October 7th happens, and we love the nation of Israel. It's October, so what are you talking about? Ukraine? No, we have to.
COVID? What was
war
that?
War has been declared, as far as Farage said. For decency's sake, we must stand unequivocally with Israel.
But do you know who else loves Israel?
You know who else loves Israel? Well, is this narrative getting a bit tired? Well, you know who else loves the nation of Israel?
Donald Trump.
It's Donald Trump. Oh, look, it's Donald Trump, and Ukraine is so over, and
Farage is back.
Woo! Take
the
that.
This changes everything. Take that, liberals.
What leftists? What liberals? Well, European liberals. Take that, woke Denmark. Southport, rape gangs, Tuti Akia. We're not talking about that anymore.
Because Trump's buying Greenland.
Nigel will sort it, but wait, no, Rupert will sort it. And wait, no,
Robert Jenrick will sort it.
Ah, the
Where's Lee Anderson these days?
Can you feel it?
Is he under my rug? I can't see.
Can you feel it, Evelyn? It's happening, the Overton window.
Whoa, the Overton window shifting. But, like, seriously, has anyone seen Lee Anderson? Is he under or behind somebody's couch? Like, what's the...
I've put the PNG. I've moved some other stuff, but I'm not quite sure where now.
I mean, where's Katie Hopkins these days? Has she not got an important piece to, like, play in the conversation? Or is she irrelevant because there's not going to be another Tommy March for a couple of months?
I don't know. Hopefully that takes you through it. But, yeah, it's amazing. All of these instances, because we've had this happen so many. But when we do it like that, I think people realize, one, how this works, and two, how there has to be a next paradigm, because these are unstable paradigms.
Well, I want to follow on with the next little bit you've got here. Within this, you have a lot of deeply emotive and psychologically grabbing mini storylines that are usually tailored to a specific national audience, and they're very briefly international stories. A lot of people swore they'd never leave the streets over Southport or the rape gangs inquiry. But right now, those people are posting AI Ghibli slop about JD Vance.
Yes.
So the slop must go on.
The slop must go on.
But it doesn't matter that Axel Rubber went and did what he did, because Adolescence was filmed. And that's stinky. Stinky leftist media. Ooh.
Yeah, there's still people being... God, I think that's actually different. Thing is, if you type in a Southport attack, what you get now is actually unrelated news.
Oh!
It's got so far out of the headlines that if you type Southport attack, yeah, there's a little bit about Prevent here from 4 days ago, but this has disappeared out of the headlines. This is one of the little moments that people thought would not go away.
There's another little moment. Yeah. Luigi Mangione!
Oh, God. Oh, I forgot. Do you remember that? Do you remember the CEO assassin? Remember him?
Did somebody find him, like, in the back of, like, their drying cupboard or something? It's like, I ran through all the towels that I've not used for years, and Luigi Mangione was hanging around the back.
It's like Chuck Mangione, you know?
Yeah.
God. Okay.
The political moment also leads to alliances that, in the moment... The political moment also leads to alliances that, in the moment, fragment and dissipate political energy in between and sometimes within different client groups. And this continuous sort of scrap and scuffle leads to everyone essentially jostling for position. We're too busy fighting each other and the democratic electoral milieu to actually bother to take the regime on as the single entity that it is. And we end up at odds with one another. I mean, I genuinely look for the moment in future where Reform has its Sikh caucus and its Muslim caucus and its Hindu caucus and these three caucuses within the Reform Party. You're getting deported, bro. No, you're getting deported, bro. No, you lot are
you're getting deported, bro, innit? Now, we got signed with Nigel Farage and we is not getting deported, innit?
Farage said we Muslims is cool, yeah? So you see he's getting totally deported.
We is cool kids now. It's just, I'll see if I can find. Where's the Reform? Oh God, I put there. It is okay.
Oh, you mean the Reform Hounslow branch?
The Reform Hounslow branch is just this. This is the political moment. There we go. Look, it's just these two images.
Barga, 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 barga.
Poor woman in the back there. But this is what we mean by the alliances of convenience in the political moment that look fucking.
Excuse me, do you not think they're going to help us make Britain great again?
I mean, there's this, and we'll get onto this, but this is exactly what we're... What people are doing is they are having compromises extracted for them for fake victories within a political moment that is being moved on.
Are you trying to tell me that all this working hand in glove with Jewish lobbyists in America to deport a tiny number of people actually isn't going to work in the long run? That's not winning?
This is what the majority of people who posted, you know, that something needs to be done about Southport supported as the solution. This is...
For Reform! Yeah. They'll change everything!
This is the outgrowth of the political moment of Southport. Welcome to your victory!
Yeah, and I mean, I think... When we both said it a couple of months ago that Southport and the grooming gangs and whatever else, these moments had kind of sailed, I thought maybe we were being a bit too like short
with that.
But if anything, it's gone worse than we could have ever expected.
People are numb to it now. As we'll drive into people, it's one of our mantras.
No, that doesn't matter. Well, it's because now some university undergraduate...
It's one of our mantras... that what is no longer revelation is normalization.
Yes.
Fair enough. It's the point as well that we've been quite solid with this stuff. I know we repeat some of our stuff, and yes, what is no longer revelation is normalization is one of them, but it's very true. There's also a very uncomfortable sense that we don't understand how the left feels. We don't understand that really they're in the exact same boat as we are.
I mean, imagine...
The uncomfortable sense of being contorted to meet the current moment is something both sides of the political spectrum feel as they take part in the liberal compromise. This is from a previous stream, but there are people who would rather adopt the it-didn't-happen frame. About, it's embarrassing, it doesn't work with their worldview. It's like the St. David's the hotel bombings in Israel for the Zionist right. They'd rather just pretend it never happened.
Mm.
But they're forced to because of the liberal compromise.
USS what?
Yeah, we end up in a position where things sort of happen. Things are sort of agreed.
Depending on who you speak to.
Yes, depending on who you speak to. But that is the process that... It's not just about the right, that everybody feels very unhappy, not only with the political moment, the compromise that come out of it, but also the alliances made during it.
Yeah, and I think as well, to sort of reiterate the point you're making there, you can have leftist narratives, you can have rightist narratives, you can have centre-left narratives, you can centre-right narratives, and everything in between. And really all you have to do is offer your own narrative that aggregates enough of the different bits of other people's stories together in a way that means you can turn around and go, well, we're legitimate rulers. Now, I understand some level that is still like, come up with narrative, explain it to the people, victory. Yeah. But that is ultimately the element of politics that we're trying to get at here, is the stuff that's happening behind the scenes so that one moment, as it's becoming inconvenient, can flow into another without too many people turning around and going, what's happened here? What's going on? Because you've never got time to genuinely question what's happening. Because before you get to the moment of thinking, what's happening here, something else has happened. Oh no, more things are happening.
What it reminds me of really is just like, oh God, they're all fucking Reddit. I hate Reddit so much. And you can't even view it properly. Oh, thank you.
For the benefit of the viewer, trying to drag up a TF2 team balance thing here to demonstrate the point.
Google Images is so bad. You know what? I'm gonna go to Yandex. Because Yandex actually lets you see the images. But yeah, it really does feel like you are, you know, you have been balanced to Team Blue. You are now attacking.
Yeah.
It's perfect. There we go. I even like the over wide resolution there.
The left are the real racists. You're on the right hand side.
That's what being told that J.K. Rowling is based now feels like. It feels like the teams have been balanced.
Don't you know that, what's his face? The Father Ted guy, Graham Linehan?
Yeah, Liam Linehan's based.
He doesn't like trannies and he loves Israel, so he must be one of our guys now.
Okay, in the same way the mainstream right felt compelled to adopt Labour voting feminists like J.K. Rowling, who were defending women as a civil rights group carve-out, a.k.a. TERFs, the mainstream left felt compelled to adopt and defend trans activists, who many saw as disruptive to their mainstream image. Neither tent felt very comfortable with the particular group as their focus. But when the political moment moves on, these groups are either portrayed as uncontroversial and once again neutral, turning the ratchet, or they become enemies of the revolution comrades. In a Maoist cultural revolution sense, and political energy and alliances break down. It's funny in that the feminists in the right have been more uncontroversially accepted than the trans activists now feel on the left,
yes,
which have become enemies of the revolution comrades.
Which actually goes to show in a certain way how the left has been more tenacious with closing ranks,
yes,
over this stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the reason why Starmer's kind of shut his trap on like the Israel Palestine stuff, because he can get away with a lot. I don't think he can get away with entirely in the same vein closing ranks on anti-apartheid, anti-Israel leftist protesters, because fundamentally they are the base.
Thank you for the $20 there, TK. Pint Fund, all of us Americans are high on Trump copium, I'm afraid. BTU, just around 40%. Fair enough. It's been disappointing to see some of the Americans, but what can you do, eh? And thank you for the Pint Fund. It will be used for pints, we promise.
It will be supped graciously.
There's a lot of kind of worked examples of this. If you want to have a worked example of the political moment moving on and the rhetoric changing, we now see in terms of the woke era, we now see Muslims should not be welcome in the UK because it makes Jews and gays unhappy, from the same people sharing anti-pride content a year ago. The Spectator's a great bellwether for this. Here's The Spectator, who shot the world's first openly gay imam, 17th of February, 2025. Have I got the same link twice there? My apologies, but there's... tell you what, I'll go back to the document quickly.
I believe you're looking for the How Pride Lost Its Way one.
Yes, yes, yes. It's.
But what you're trying to demonstrate is that any of these client groups can be simultaneously put up on a plinth, used to berate another one and denigrate, you know, an opposite client group. And then when it's no longer convenient, you can basically completely and utterly flip the switch.
How Pride Lost the Public... And who shot the world's first openly gay imam? I mean, it's a liberal conversation and people have different ideas and bollocks.
Mm.
There is a single strain of messaging. And the reason we see this switch is because the political moment between 2023 and 2025 has changed. In June 2023, they were signaling extremely hard that the woke was being put away.
Mm.
And now we are in the post-woke era. They can now use quote-unquote woke talking points and civil rights talking points in the pro-Zionist counter.
And a neutral tone.
Yes, this is now neutral. It's now uncontroversial, once again, to talk about gay rights in a civil rights frame. Just like it has become uncontroversial that apparently J.K. Rowling is some form of based ally. But there we go. Another worked example is the COVID inquiry. Yes, it is still going on. And this is what we mean by the fact that COVID is a completely done narrative. And it's a great example that no matter how big an event, the political moment will always march on. And if you are an anti-lockdown activist now, people just look at you like you're wearing a mask. They look at you like you're still you're engaging in an old dialectic from a point of view they now agree with, but you're still engaging in an old dialectic. They're like, what? Trump, Greenland, Starmer, what are you talking about?
Didn't you know about October 7th?
Yeah, lockdowns, but the point is...
What's a COVID? Does that give you Hamas?
Well, the COVID inquiry, if we go down to the bottom here, because it's quite funny, Baroness Harlot has confirmed... Harlot, and maybe she is, who knows, that she does not want the inquiry hearings to run beyond her original aim of summer 2026. So the hearings will continue until the middle of next year. We've got more than a year of talking left.
This would mean a final report is likely to be published in 2027, which means you're probably not going to get one.
Probably 2028. Can you imagine 8 years later? Like, COVID looks like an anachronism now. It's going to be like the Iraq War inquiry, because that came 16 years afterwards.
Well, and the thing is, as well, given the fact that we seem to be accelerating in some manner through these moments more quickly than we did before, because the density of quote-unquote political information that we can absorb, but what does this matter in 2037, 2028, if we're already in some sort of strange climate lockdown, or we're having mobility restricted across different bits of the UK as a consequence of rival ethnic gangs fighting one another, or Mr. Ben, whatever his face is, gets up and screams, "Civil War! Civil War!" Patrick Betts, that's what it was.
David Betts. He'll again, mentioning him will date this horribly because he's a flash in the pan, I reckon.
Yeah.
But the point is that the unimaginable, the unthinkable happens, the lockdowns. And then the unimaginable, the unthinkable is immediately forgotten.
Because of Ukraine's the new unthinkable, new unimaginable.
The time to talk about COVID was between about February 2020 and about February 2022, you had 2 years in which
I would say even less than that.
Well, I mean, in any form of relevance.
Yes.
And the moment that the Ukraine flags went up on government buildings in the UK, if you were an anti-COVID activist, your political moment had passed. And no matter how right you were, no matter in that moment, if the government had come out and basically reversed the entire COVID narrative, it would have made zero difference, because it was no longer their project. And actually reversing that and putting people onto a war footing was much more important than maintaining it. And a lot of people do not understand that the new paradigm must put away the old paradigm, because people have such a limited attention span, as you point out, that really it's disadvantageous for the previous paradigm to be there. But also, people naturally, once they're no longer in the informational soup, once the water is a slightly different colour for the goldfish, they forget they were ever in any other colour of water.
I need my next, Heat magazine. I've read the last one.
Again, can you imagine, just imagine talking about COVID in 2028. Imagine 3 years' time we come back to and say, by the way, COVID, it's really important we talk about COVID right now. You'd be like, what? But that's it. And it doesn't have to be a particularly large amount of time. This can happen quickly and slowly. The best example, really, is the JFK files and the supposed Epstein. Oh, my God, the JFK files.
I think this one, I must admit, actually backfired in some regard, because there was a sizable number of people on Twitter that just turned around and go, fuck off, you're joking.
Well,
because what I think they implicitly recognise is that the JFK files, whatever you want to call them, could have come out, it could have had the most scintillating revelations ever in any public document, and it wouldn't have made a fucking lick of a difference.
No, because it was 60 years ago, and everyone involved in it is now dead.
The ship has sailed.
Yeah.
And as you've got as the next example here, it turns out it doesn't even matter if it was 60 years ago. If it's something as heinous as what happened with Epstein,
yes,
in a matter of a decade ago, that's gone to the wayside. No one cares about that. Remember the Twitter files?
It became a meme. Epstein didn't kill himself. People moved on. It became, the moment it becomes passé, the moment it becomes, well, everyone knows that, you've lost.
Mm.
As soon as it no longer elicits a reaction, as soon as it is simply just accepted, you have lost. And you have especially lost once the conversation has moved on.
What's an Epstein? I'm too busy putting pictures of Goebbels into the Ghibli AI. Grok? What does this mean, Grok?
Well,
another worked example. Ukraine has been put away. Very successfully, I might add. I know Starmer's running around with his, oh no, we really wanted a land war with Russia, and oh, we really
but he's got a, he's
Trump
got,
won't let me.
He's got to be there to like perpetuate it in a kind of way.
He's there. He's actually hyping Trump by being an international heel.
By hanging around like a bad smell.
Yeah. By overplaying it and by being unpopular and stinky.
Hello, my name's Keir Starmer, and I'm a stinky leftist.
Again, this is the Ukraine Global Voice. This is the Kiev Post. And here, what do you see in the image? Strong, big Trump. Weak, slightly blurry, squinty looking. Like,
he looks unsure of himself, yeah. Doesn't he? The Rat King.
The Kiev Post in its imaging. Big, strong Trump. Little, weak Zelensky. It's over. It's been over for a long time. We talked about this before, but this is like the narrative cartoon way. Only stinky leftists like him now. Uh-oh, stinky. But no, nobody actually liked Zelensky.
No.
Never. Like nobody actually liked wearing a mask.
I mean, I think one of the last clips we might ever see of Joe Biden in the public sort of image will be him coming out and going, Vladimir Zelensky, who?
Yeah.
And as you see here, the corruption revelations that are surely coming at some stage will be a brief story outside of the political movement. Trump already told the Rat King off. What does it matter?
Yeah, this works because, once again, as that mantra goes, what is no longer revelation is normalization. The idea that Ukraine was a failure and that Zelensky is a stinky, stinky, stinky debtor who took all the money and was really stinky and leftist like him, and he's stinky and bad. Look how bad and small and stinky he is, and look how big and strong and cool Trump is. That is what the news cycle is saying to you. And the fact that people now think that, one, they have won, or two, that this is some sort of momentous shift in what political reality is, those people are all at sea. They're left completely detached from reality because they don't understand that what is changing is not reality, but the framing of reality. It is so important to understand that.
When the political moment changes, the alliances made within it and the activism based upon it goes back to zero without continued institutional support.
Yeah.
And before I add the rest of your sentence on there, I think that's a very important point. Subversion into your groups that happens in a political moment, it's perpetuated beyond that moment because their subversion is more important than the moment itself.
Yes. Well, that's what happens is that it becomes neutral and normal to support that thing.
Well, of course, without Jews, you don't win.
Yeah. And what is neutral and normal over a long period of time are the things the elite value the most. A lot drops away. Mm. A lot does drop away. But where you see the continued and continuous institutional support and the portrayal of things as uncontroversial, that is where you have the most, you know, solid center for the elite power project. This also allows the friend enemy distinction to be defined for you by your enemies if you allow these alliances to come about due to what the political moment is. In fact, certain political moments seem to be designed to create these unlikely alliances, then break them apart as a way of... It's like how a TV show has to reset to zero. It's like the political reality is a syndicated TV show and they must always get back to starting position.
Do you know what I get out of this?
What?
I look at the relationship British Muslims had with Jeremy Corbyn. He was their guy.
Yeah.
Then Corbyn and the message that he has is basically attacked by Momentum and the more kind of internationalist and more abstracted forms of leftism.
Yes.
The Muslims don't like that anymore. They look to the Tory party. Then the Tory party becomes their party for a couple of years. But then that all goes a bit woke and a bit too weird. So now you've got these disaggregated groups of weird, woke, progressive, champagne socialist types and Muslims who maybe have geopolitical interests that don't align with these people, constantly going back and forth and bumping into each other and wondering why, you know, I'm a 65-year-old ex-university lecturer, poet, and an open whatever with an HMO, like four other people in Oxford. Why am I sharing a Labour canvassing spot or a Tory canvassing sort of thing with someone who's a devout Muslim who's only been living here for 10 or 15 years and doesn't give a rat's arse about progressive causes? The fact that they can chop and change these people and basically throw them at one another in their own sides is just, to me, like, one of the most clear-cut examples.
Here's another archetypal voter. The dwindling old left, the hard left, the union left.
Oh, they just don't exist.
The Mick Lynch left. But they do. They exist in a very small capacity. What's happened is those people were some of the most vocal activists for Corbyn. They thought it was their last gasp moment for old-style socialism. And those people now vote for Nigel Farage. Those people,
or the SDP, or the, some sort of strange thing like that, Yeah.
Or those people now vote for quote-unquote right-coded parties. Another bizarre aspect of this was the fact that if you go back to early 2023, you have messaging here about the original Stop the Boats campaign, because Stop the Boats was originally a dirty, dirty racist dog whistle.
Except from the fact that Rakib Eshan used to write policy exchange reports about the exact same time as this with Stop the Boats right on the front of them.
Yeah, so what you had was a news narrative where Stop the Boats was coming directly from the Prime Minister's lectern, but it was being fought back against by these community anti-racist groups because it was coming via
Patriotic Alternative and Steve Laws and all these different groups of people who you would say sit in a more ethno-nationalist category.
Yes. But what ended up happening is, chicken and egg situation aside, the messaging ended up identical between, for a moment, between the Steve Laws and Patriotic Alternative to this world and Rishi Sunak. And it kind of cut the legs off things for a moment there.
And I think that's the hilarious part, is that news media will pretend that there is irreconcilable ideological differences between Keir Starmer and Kemi Badenoch.
Yes.
But on the same breath, we're pretending that Patriotic Alternative and Rishi Sunak meant the same thing when they said stop the boats.
Yes.
When surely that's where your irreconcilable ideological differences would have existed. But for the sake of painting the moment as it needed to be, the head was flipped on it.
Yeah, you get it both ways around. All the reporting was about Rishi Sunak repeating the talking points of Patriotic Alternative rather than why does Patriotic Alternative sound like the Tory party all of a sudden, because they're trying to latch onto these NIMBY local protests. It works the other way around. Something I think relatively controversial that we're... the struggle to create the political moment, you're right. Well,
This is a bit of an aside as well. And
fair
I think
enough, yeah.
The inverse of having the political moment, or the corollary of it, is having and recognising the apparatus required to construct the moment, to hold it in situ.
Yeah.
And then to snap your fingers and make it go away and get replaced with another one. That is not something we have and something we will probably never have.
No.
So attempting to utilise the political moment is a complete non-starter.
Yeah, you don't set the political moment. You don't set when it starts. You don't set when it ends. You are not writing the music. If you dance to the political background music, you are dancing to their beat. You are dancing to their rhythm.
There are a lot of people, and I don't even want to talk about the slop posters or people who are containment. I want to talk about the people who are genuinely interested in all these different issues. Maybe they've got a pet one, and that's their whole thing. But what they do on Twitter, what they do on YouTube, what they do on Rumble or Telegram or wherever else is demonstrate the futility of trying to perpetuate a moment that has passed.
Well, people are like, well, what are we supposed to do? It's like anything else. Come up with a project that you think will help and develop it over the course of decades.
Step over the moment.
Yeah. Have a longer time horizon. Identify something that will create concrete gains that is disaggregated from the political moment and pursue it unendingly. And that is how you make... I'm sorry. Yeah, you're going to have to sit down and probably do a decade of awful slogging hard work, but you will make it. You will have a much better chance of making a difference than simply latching onto the fleeting political moment. Pick a hill that can't be demolished by the news cycle changing and decide to die on it. That is what you can do.
I mean, I think one of the... someone I think we possibly maybe even need to have a word with at some point is that Gavin Bobby guy.
Yeah.
And he's picked one thing. He's hyper-focused on it. He's not attempting to polarise or politicise or even sort of radicalise anyone about it. He is taking a single issue, the council planning and approval for mosques,
yeah,
and is hyper-focused on the specific action of trying to fight these. That seems to me like an infinitely more productive thing than whatever you can get 10 or 100,000 people on Twitter to ratio someone saying.
Yes.
And
people ask about basket weaving. My thought about basket weaving, unfortunately, is that they sent someone in there with an MI5 passport. Even a low level, I'd be careful, but getting together and organising within a community in a non-political fashion, I think the problem with the basket weavers is it did become too explicitly political in certain ways.
Yes.
It needs to be actually like a sewing group, but that was the idea behind it. I think you should go out and be in people's lives in your local area. I think you should have friends.
Yes, but I mean,
I think you should go outside and pet dogs. I think that's much more useful than engaging with the political moment.
It is much better you being a respectable representative of our ideas in your local community than it is you being a raving political activist of any stripe. Well,
here's the upshot. Here's how Keir Starmer has won the South Park dialectic. He has pulled off an incredible victory here, narratively, that people just have not paid attention to. Because immediately, what did we have in the aftermath of two-tier Keir? We had the sentencing guidelines row, which went out and made it explicitly two-tier, in quotes. And people went, oh, you see, it's evidence. It's evidence that Britain's a two-tier society. And what's happened here? Well, Labour has they've ended the standoff. They have cancelled and pretended to be at war with the sentencing council to the point that they are threatening them with the use of Parliament. And they are saying that they're doing this to prevent the advent of a two-tier justice system in Britain. And just like that, the political conversation has moved to the fact that we do not want a two-tier system.
So
not
back to equality of the law.
Yeah, not that we have had one since the Race Relations Act. And really, not that we've had one since the Windrush arrived. Arguably, even before that, since the Victorian do-gooders decided that foreigners are worth more than British people. The idea that we have not had a two-tier system whilst we've had, you know, race laws on the books since the 60s, enhanced in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and 2000s, is insane. But that is the dialectic. People go, oh, well, it's a good thing that Keir Starmer did that, because that would have created a two-tier justice system. And that is the trick here. You come up with something that is unthinkably bad for your enemies, and then you pretend to stop it. And then everyone becomes very confused because you have already destroyed your enemies, really, but you're pretending not to. This is what I mean by the framing. This is a masterclass in frame games, but it works. Most people will go, well, it's a good thing those sentencing guidelines didn't go through. That would have created a two-tier justice system. And just like that, from a different angle, you've got a lot of people to concede by proxy that Britain is not yet a two-tier society. Again, worked example, but this has been through the immigration control stuff as well. Everything we've said about blue Labour is happening.
Mm.
Here it is. Here, things can only get better. This is a Labour government, an austerity Labour government, I might add, who is going out and saying, we are stopping anti-white sentencing guidelines from coming onto the books.
Keir Starmer has the easiest job in the world. He supplies no more than already exists support for students and international students and anyone studying anything else. So that when the Boris wave people come to the end of their 4 or 5 year visas, there's no way for them to renew it. There's no support for them out there. And all of a sudden, 100,000 to 200,000 people a year all of a sudden start self-deporting.
Yeah.
He will be venerated as a hero, or he will be put in a position where all the right-wing folk want to do is have a debate about how valid the statistics are.
And once they're doing that, then they've lost.
Yeah, the ship's sailed.
Actually fully correct there. So you create fake issues and let others come up with fake solutions so people constantly buy back into the system.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's why we keep telling people when they get, like, people got, like, upset with us. Like, people, big people, like, people who we used to talk to blocked us on social media because we said, it's not happening because of Southport.
Yeah.
This isn't happening. People will move on. People will forget about this. And people how dare you? How dare, well, children died. How dare you say this anger will fade? And then it did.
Yeah.
And here we are.
And I think people don't quite, I think it was one thing for some people to start recognising that woke's gone away. I think one of the things we've got here towards the end that I'd like to mention as well is just the notion that, like, net zero's maybe, like, on its way.
I'm afraid they're not quite putting it away fully, but green is going to be incredibly de-emphasised. They have annoyed people to such a degree that they're just going to stop talking about it. And you must remember that just stopping talking about it is the first line in people thinking it's gone away.
Yeah. If anything, that's the most important part.
Yes. Much of the agenda will still be implemented, but they will simply not talk about it. This was the divide between people. Oh, they can't, but woke away means putting civil rights away. It's like, no, woke is a framing. There is a contiguous agenda, and there are things that the agenda is portrayed as. And those things are not necessarily related. And again, just like you need to disaggregate the act of voting from who is in power, you need to disaggregate the messaging from reality.
Yes, and I think specifically as well with the UK, it's such an obvious sort of cop-out that they've given themselves, because we in the past covered the fact that the measures and how the standards for the implementation of net zero were going to be handled was all going to be done by the courts. Now, there's basically a silent agreement between the government and the courts that holding people to compliance over net zero isn't politically utilisable anymore. They'll just not do it.
Oh, no, no, no.
And they'll just let all the other businesses slowly but surely realise, oh, wait, I don't have to do this.
It'll be like the same.
I don't have to sign up for sustainable farming this and rewilding that, because these schemes are already being rolled back as we speak, and in such a manner that people are going to have to move into non-sustainable bits of what they're doing to be viable businesses. Now, they might be castigated for doing that, but the option will be left open to them, and that's fundamentally what we're trying to, I think, point across here.
Well, there's one of the people we watch who isn't really a political content creator at all, but we used to joke about him making videos like this, and now he does.
One Harry Metcalf, Evil Magazine.
Yes, formerly of Evil Magazine, but basically the Sustainable Farming Initiative, the SFI, was closed with very little notice. And basically a lot of the Sustainable Farming Initiatives in Britain have shut. If you got on them, you're in them, but basically the land usage, they're chopping and changing it faster than, you know, the seasons, which is just creating absolute chaos in the farming industry. But from a farming perspective, net zero has, a lot of the SFI stuff has gone away, so which means that the land usage stuff, the green land usage stuff, has started to properly go away. These schemes are no longer taking people. It has been de-emphasised, in the UK at least, in terms of farming.
And at the same time, seeing as we've got BlackRock here, yeah, you've got Larry Fink from BlackRock running around saying, yes, xenophobic, smaller countries with decreasing populations and highly competent engineers and technical skills, these countries will benefit
from AI.
From not just AI, but over the next 20,
automation.
30 years.
Well, he's talking about AI and automation. He's saying these are more AI resistant, in quotes.
But I think what he's saying there is, in this coming paradigm, that will be acceptable again.
Well, the point is that,
and it's, these things are all, as you say, markers that the sheet music is changing.
We've moved away from from immigrants of people to we're moving towards AI's people too. And they're going to print people by making digital people. It's going to be awful. But anyway, well, in its place, I think we've also got, you know, climate group funded by Bill Gates / staff in major retreat. You can say this isn't true. You can say it's not really happening. But the messaging around it, like, we're not talking
about reality. We're talking about the perception of reality, which to most people who view these things from afar, unless you are directly involved in them, is the same thing. Mm-hmm. And that's hyper-reality. But anyway, in its place, I think we'll have some sort of Malthusian austerity, which is what this Labour government seems to represent. The ideological veneer of a carbon credit score will likely only appeal to a certain contingent. To others, it will be a control of immigration. We have firmly left the age of homogenous political messaging, and the apparatus of management and security will tailor its messaging to the individual, as Facebook has done for the past decade. Populism creates the perfect environment for this. Trump is all things to all men. MLK to Mustache Man.
Down with slopulism. Down with the slopulists.
Down with the slopulists, yes. It's we would like to lift our snouts out of the trough for once, please.
But for the same reason COVID was put away, and for the same reason that woke was put away, and for the same reason Ukraine is being put away, they begin to hurt more and more from any that they have empowered.
To hurt more than they've empowered those in charge. So
yes.
The reason that climate stuff is being disemphasised is because it's starting to cause them real headaches. Like the whole banning of the combustion engine thing, you're going to ban the combustion engine. And the companies went, well, reality says that we can't. And they went, well, we're the politicians and actually we can't compete with reality, so yeah. Please keep making combustion engines. We'll just pretend we don't.
Oh, yeah, we'll make loads of new exceptions for how you can make them.
The parasite cannot kill the host. The parasite needs the host, not the other way around. And I hope when we say the parasite cannot kill the host, you know exactly what we're talking about. I'll double check I've not missed any funding there. Thank you for the $2, EC90. It's so Jova. I don't think we have much else to add there, really. You have received your political wisdom for the day.
Have a lovely weekend, seeing as the weather's going to be good. Get yourself to your local pub. And I suppose, goodbye.
Yeah, have a good one and have a good evening. Goodbye.